In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There was an article in the news this week about an extended family in Arlington, Texas, a community in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. This family has taken great care all year long to avoid making each other sick. They all agreed to stop going to church, or to bars, or to restaurants, even those with outdoor seating. They changed their weekly habit of gathering for extended family meals and instead began having monthly, socially distanced, outdoor gatherings. And they maintained this discipline for months and months. But then, earlier this month, here in November, one of them invited just a few others over for fajitas and birthday cake. They didn't actually plan to be inside together, but they just, you know, they kind of ended up gathered in the living room, just like old times, accidentally. And then you know what happens next. One of them texts the others the next day to say that she wasn't feeling so good. And soon they discovered that every single person there, all 15 of them, tested positive for COVID-19. The grandmother ended up in the hospital with breathing assistance. The grandfather stuck at home, also sick, so he can't visit his wife and no one can come see him. Even the children and the pregnant mom were all suffering. It's kind of a dark story, no? I heard this story and I could see myself in it. It would be so easy, too easy, to let up the discipline and the care and the hard choices that my family has been making for almost the entire year now. There's a kind of pandemic fatigue that sets in. We get tired, of saying no, tired of staying home, tired of cooking for ourselves, tired of not being with our friends and with our families, tired of staring at the computer screen, tired of only attending church online or outdoors. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is talking about another pandemic. He's describing the viral infection of sin in the world, those attitudes and activities and dispositions that destroy relationships and cause separations between us and between us and God. Jesus talks about the suffering and the disruption caused by the pandemic of sin and the various signs that accompany it. Those signs feel familiar, similar to my experience of this year's coronavirus pandemic. And the fatigue is also familiar. Prolonged exposure to the pandemic of sin leaves us tired and weary. And that weariness tempts us to ease up on our precautions, the disciplines and habits that we use in our pursuit of good spiritual hygiene. It's harder to pray, more complicated to go to church, more tricky to find safe ways to serve others. And instead, the television and a snack are more tempting than ever. Relationship conflicts are harder to deal with since meeting in person is generally discouraged. And so this whole pandemic ordeal has been going on so long that I'm tempted to get comfortable with it, to make my peace and just stop fighting, to accept the familiar, even if it's unpleasant, instead of continuing to yearn for and strive for something better. It's tempting to satisfy myself with lesser things, things that may not make life good, but things that will lull me into a sense of relative comfort and help me to sleep. But now in our church year, now comes Advent. And the message of Advent, we heard it in the gospel, the message of Advent is keep awake. Keep awake. Because we're not waiting for a little baby. What we're waiting for is the return of Jesus the King. What we're waiting for is God's redemptive work in history. What we're waiting for is the return of the Master. What we're waiting for the coming of God in power, who will tear open the heavens, cause the mountains to quake, and free us from this terrible pandemic of sin and soporifics, and establish instead God's kingdom forever. And so the invitation of Advent is to open our eyes, to splash some water on our faces, and to notice even the small blessings that we receive in the present. These things may not outweigh the pains of the present pandemic of sin, but they are tokens, down payments, encouragements for us to hold on to the promises of God's kingdom. The purpose of Advent is to shake us back into consciousness, to rouse us so that we can make choices once again to set aside the things that distract us from God and to put our hope someplace that is sure. That family in Arlington was lulled into complacency by their many months of care and discipline, by the sheer boredom and uneventfulness of their pandemic experience. And so they fell asleep, figuratively, and gathered in a living room, and they got sick together. And so this week, they actually recorded a video and released it to their community, urging everyone to stay awake, stay vigilant, and to not give up their resistance to the pandemic. That kind of vigilance can be exhausting. And that's why we're here, to encourage one another. That's why Jesus left us the sacraments like communion to share and sustain us along the way. Advent is a time for us to remember, to wake up, and to renew our vigilance. It is a time to let go of every lesser thing in which we might be tempted to place our hope, or our security, or our passion, and to keep our eyes focused on the prize instead. Because our prize is not just a few more years of health and vitality in this mortal form, although that would be no small prize, but our prize is so much bigger. It is citizenship in God's community, an eternal wakefulness, which compared with these 40 or 80 or 100 years in the mortal form, these years will have been just a blink of the eye. God's promise is sure. And in Advent, the church is telling us, hang in there. You're going to make it. From the darkness of these shorter days, and the darkness of the pandemic, and the darkness of our own struggles, Advent brings a light. And it invites us, it cries out to us in the refrain from our psalm, restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Amen.